Good afternoon and welcome to Midwest Beach. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music, the people who make it, and the arts. Well, today we've got a great show. The first half, we're going to have Chicago actress vocalist Angela Ingersoll and her better half, Michael Ingersoll, who is the producer and performer that you know and love from Jersey Boys and Under the Street Lamp. He's got a new company, and it is producing this Judy Garland special that's coming to theater at the Center. And we're going to have them talking all about it and featuring songs from her new PBS special. Second half of the show, I've got Ben Piazza coming in from the Valparaiso University Jazz Festival running April 2nd through 6th. We're going to talk about the Jazz Fest, now in its 33rd year, I believe. And that's all coming up after your headlines here.
Consideration for programming is provided by State Farm agent John Yelkich, serving insurance needs for Hobart and the surrounding areas. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. More information is available at john4insurance.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Midwest Beats. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program's all about the arts. Today we're talking about music, different styles of music. Coming up second half, we'll be talking about the 33rd annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival. Coming in from VU will be Ben Piazza, and he's got some music from some of the artists that'll be playing. Well, we're kicking things off with a very, very special pairing of guests. I'm thrilled that they're in the studio. Angela Ingersoll is with us. We've also got Michael Ingersoll. Both of them are theater, singer, actress, actor, producers, presenters. These guys have done it all. We're going to find out about their unique professional relationship and their personal relationship. We're going to talk about the new show that is coming to Performing Arts Center at Theater at the Center in Munster. And we're going to give you a chance to hear what she sounds like as Judy Garland. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's get happy as we get ready to welcome the Ingersolls to Midwest Beats.
Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across a river. Throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Chase the cares away. Hallelujah, happy before the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're gonna be going to the promised land. We're heading across a river. Toss your sins away in the tide. It's quiet and peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, get happy. Your cares fly away. Shout hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for your judgment day. Come on, get happy. Chase the cares away. Hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for your judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. All your cares away. Shout hallelujah. Come on, get happy. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the judgment day.
Applause, applause, applause. That's what it was like not too long ago over at our good friends at WTTW Studios. I believe that's where you filmed that, correct?
Actually, this was filmed before a live audience in Chicagoland's Arcata Theater.
Oh, with St. Ron Onesti.
Yeah.
Ron's an old friend.
Yeah, it's a wonderful old movie palace that he has there, that the kind of place where Judy would have played in vaudeville or her films would have played a little later in the 30s. And so we approached him about filming there, and he was generous and helped us out. And so we filmed at the end of last year and then premiered on television on TTW
so
just last
did
week.
Did you know it was being filmed for PBS when you filmed it?
That was the grand master plan of this very nefarious producer I know who's sitting right next to me. Yes.
Ah, the one and only Michael Ingersoll. And we know him from Jersey Boys, also a co-founder of Under the Street Lamp, who have been on the show before. Michael, let's talk about the fact that you are a very recognized performer, but you are now moving in wearing a new hat as producer and media mogul, I guess you'd say, because you're now running your own entertainment company. So how did that come about?
Well, I've been, first of all, it's a very, very kind introduction. Thank you very much.
I said nefarious. That was kind.
I'm sure it falls somewhere in between the two. The fact of the matter is I'd been on the road for about 10 years, whether it was in the first national tour of Jersey Boys, playing Nick Massey of the Four Seasons, or as a founding member of Under the Street Lamp. We were fortunate enough to record three PBS specials right down the road at the Star Plaza Theater.
The late, great Star Plaza.
Yeah. And then we toured all over the country. We played the biggest markets and the biggest cities all over. And after 10 years of being on the road, I just realized it was time for me. It was just time for me to be home more often. My Angela and I have been together 17 years. I'd like to make it to 18. So it was just kind of time. It was time to come off the road. But the thing is, I had learned all of these things about the business, about how to get performers that should be in front of audiences in front of them, and how to serve audiences well. And you know, my bag is music from the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. How did you get into that? I mean, you're a young guy. How did you turn on to that kind of music?
Well, I loved that music growing up, listening to it in the car with my dad, you know, all the oldie stations, you know, gosh, you know, Elvis and the Drifters and the Beach Boys. And then, you know, if you sing the catalog of the Four Seasons 1,300 times in a row, which I did in Jersey Boys, it just kind of gets in your blood. But mostly I loved the people that loved that music. Mm-hmm. I loved their enthusiasm. I loved the fact that they wanted to hear it done live and done well and done professionally. And so I spent the next 10 years of my career rounding up folks that were, you know, really all in their 30s and that wanted to keep this music alive. And so now that I'm not performing, I'm still able to do that by creating PBS specials for folks like Angela to celebrate Judy Garland, but also Broadway and television and Chicago artists that celebrate. Well, we've just talked about what we brought to even Theater at the Center here locally. Nat King Cole, Ella Fitzgerald, Bobby Darin. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got catalogs that celebrate Elvis Presley, Neil Sedaka. And all these folks are Broadway and TV stars first, so they're storytellers that have a very good sense of presence first.
It's interesting because the artists you're mentioning, the music you're mentioning, is, I hate to use a tired term, but it's timeless. A lot of the newer music is disposable pop. It's trendy, it's gone, you forget about it. You can't remember the artist. But young people seem to be turning on. We saw Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett, for instance. You know, this music is coming back. And I mean, like vinyl is coming back.
Right.
And I actually had a high school girl contact me. This is a singer that was in here and asked me at my record store if I was going to have Neil Sedaka's Greatest Hits on vinyl because she couldn't find it. I'm like, if you want it, I'll have it. And I have two copies now.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm like excited that she's going to come in and get it. But these are teenage kids that are turning on. At Neil Sedaka, who would think?
Right.
You know?
Well, he wrote a lot of great music.
Mm-hmm.
It's music that's been used in films, and that helps preserve it in our culture as well. And just music that we love to sing along to. That's the thing. We're passed down from our parents. That's how Michael and I both experienced this music, was being passed down from our parents singing along with the radio. And, I for myself as a performer, I learned to sing by singing along. And I think that mid-century American music invites in so much great history and so much great storytelling. The stories of mid-century America that come with the kind of shows we produce, I think, is what makes it unique, quite honestly. It's not just about we all know the words to this song. We like to tell the story behind the song.
Our artists don't just stand and sing and deliver the tunes.
Right.
You learn about what was happening in the icon's life that they're celebrating, what was happening in America, why they as young people identify with those stories. And to call back to the point you just made, Tom, in terms of today's music, I think you get out of it what you put into it. You know, it's made by committee, it's made in a boardroom, it's made by compressing a bunch of sounds and computers. And the music we made was made by human beings singing directly into a microphone and that being broadcast directly to the airwaves. And as human beings, I think we cannot help but still identify with that in our guts and get excited about it.
Well, we had Alexis Roston on here when you did the Ella Fitzgerald show.
She's
and she was amazing.
She's wonderful.
I went to the concert, and my wife and I sat there. And I'm an Ella fan. As I mentioned off air, I like jazz a lot. And I was blown away by her.
Yeah.
And she was extremely humble. She goes, "I'm no Ella." You know, she goes, "But I do my best to pay tribute."
Yeah.
And I thought, you're darn close to Ella.
One of the things that she does best is that she is such a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets in this, like I do with Judy, she gets into the psychology of Ella. She knows from everything she studied that Ella was a very shy person, except when she had the music to express herself. So keeping her cards close to her chest and then that need to release it through these great pieces of music creates a special kind of magic that you can't quite put your finger on why she's so darn much like Ella Fitzgerald without seeming to be lying to you, doing some kind of an impression. It's not at all an impression. It's a respect for the actual heart of the human being, the way that we, as we grow older, we begin to understand who our parents were more, you know, as we gain life experience. That's the same kind of thing that we as artists are trying to do for these great icons, who we might just know as a poster image, especially somebody like Judy Garland, who was very made fantastical by media in her time. She was arguably America's first superstar. We try to get into the psychology and heart of the human being and let their three-dimensional voice be heard through their great music.
We are talking today with Angela and Michael Ingersoll, and Angela portrays Judy Garland in Come Rain or Come Shine, which is performing at on April 7th. Two shows, 3 p.m., 7 p.m. at Theater at the Center. Get information on that show at theateratthecenter.com, and that's theater with an R-E, not an E-R. So theateratthecenter.com, which maybe you guys can answer it. I've asked
the
some different...
The art, not the building.
Okay.
R-E means the art form, E-R means the building.
Thank you. I've asked so many different people that are into acting, and they're all like, well, there is a difference, but we aren't sure what. So now you've cleared that up. Angela, what... Michael, you were talking about being on the road for so many years, and you wanted to get off and be home with Angela. But you are a performer, and you're touring.
Yeah.
So now is this the opportunity, as opposed to being home, to being with Angela on the road and making a home wherever you guys land?
Listen, I have been delivering bacon long enough. I want bacon delivered directly to me.
I love that.
And I hope she's more successful than I ever was. I told her that if she wants to make more money than I've ever made, that my ego can handle it.
That I could be his guest.
That I encourage her to be a superstar. I mean, the cool thing is that when she tours with her Judy Garland concert, I will have the option of being on the road with her as a producer and manager of sorts. And then sometimes I won't be, and that will be just fine, too.
It's nice to have a little away time. Absence does make the heart grow fonder. We had our share. And this past year has been wonderful because we've been home together and collaborating so much.
Well, the secret of our relationship, you know, we've been married 13 years, but only in the same room for about 5.5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's showbiz, kids.
Now, is it hard to separate husband, wife, producer, artist?
Yeah.
Do you have to get a different mindset?
No, I'm going to tell him what to do either way.
Spoken like a woman.
I'm good at receiving instructions. You know, it is tricky. You know, you don't leave your marriage outside of a working relationship that's this intense. You know, I think we
do have a funny. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to.
No,
tell
you're
him
not.
About...
You're not sorry to interrupt me.
It's as if we know one another.
Mm-hmm.
When we've been lucky enough this past year to be able to be home together at the same time working, we do have two separate offices in our house that we're able to work from. And there are many times of the day where we will text and email one another rather than talk to one another.
Well, you're in the same, like, basic...
In the same, when basically...
It's just it's sitting feet there's some away. Questions I need to ask from a safe distance, and I don't know. I think we get much more out of the privilege of working together than it is a drag to work through the problems that you can't separate. You know, normal couple problems with work problems, but I would rather take it this way. I mean,
We met working together.
Yeah, we did.
We've
met
always
at a
worked
Shakespeare
together.
Festival when we were kids, just out of college.
Yeah.
And the demands of this business are so unique. I just think that most people with good sense wouldn't tolerate it. So we found each other instead.
It is a tough business, and the fact that you both have been successful in it and successful together is testament to your talent and your personalities.
Thank you.
You do perform together, though, in the Happy Together,
yeah,
which is one of the shows that, that you have with Artists Lounge Live, which you can keep up with all of Michael's different acts at artistloungelive.com, and there are several to check out, including Neil Sedaka, which we discussed. But tell me about the Happy Together.
It's our subtitle. It's Happy Together, Michael and Angela Ingersoll sing songs you know the words to. It is very much about storytelling through through the business and relationship, and singing a lot of the great songs with which we like to antagonize one another. Really,
yeah,
it's
sort of
pop
sort of like
nerds.
a Steven Eady type of, if we were hosting a cocktail party in our living room, like the way folks used to do to entertain each other. It feels that way, and the entire thing about our show, about Artist Lounge Live, about the Judy Show, is to take the music seriously, to treat it with respect, but not to take the show seriously, not
we'll
to take ourselves seriously.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, you did that together.
Well,
in stereo.
You know, nobody. I don't think anybody likes to be kept at arm's length from a singer or a performer that's taking themselves very seriously.
Right.
I think they would much rather receive this music from someone that steps on stage that's already centered in gratitude. That's really what we. We can't sing for anybody unless there are folks out there that decide to spend their time, spend their money with us.
Yeah.
So we're grateful from the moment that we get to serve them. And I think that's why our company will hopefully do well, God willing.
And I think that we're able to have self-deprecating humor on stage. It's something else that's in our show as well as in the Judy Show. The first thing I do when I come out for the audience, I sing a couple of songs. But when I introduce myself, I say, yes, there has been a likeness throughout my entire life, I've been told. I started singing on stage when I was 5 years old. Judy started singing on stage when she was two. She grew up to be 4'11". I'm 5 feet tall. I have heard my entire life about the likeness that I have to her. How did that big voice come out of that little body?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we have most in common is how crooked my teeth are. Look at my crooked teeth, everybody. You know, so we are there to not take ourselves too seriously, to undercut any glamour one might glean.
Let's listen to the music. This is Angela Ingersoll, my guest here, as Judy Garland, and you can catch her singing. I assume this song is in the show that you're doing.
Which song?
We're
going to
do the Rockabye.
Oh, Rockabye. Yeah, I will definitely do Rockabye. This was one of Judy's favorite songs to sing live.
And this
live
was an Al
concert.
Jolson song.
Yes, her favorite singer was Al Jolson.
Okay.
So in her day, when she went into concert work after her time at MGM, she sang the oldies of her day. She wanted to keep the oldies alive and honor her favorite singers in Rockabye. Rockabye does exactly that.
All right. And this is one you'll hear April 7th at Theater at the Center. Two shows, 3 p.m., 7 p.m., come rain or come shine. This is Angela.
Rockabye, your baby with a Dixie. When you croon a tune from the heart of Dixie, just hang my cradle, mammy mine, right on that Mason-Dixon line, and swing it from Virginia with all the love that's in ya. Weep no more, my lady. Sing that song again for me. Sing poor old Joe, just as though you had me on your knee. A million baby kisses I'll deliver if you will only play that Swanee River. Rock-a-bye, your rock-a-bye baby with a Dixie.
That one, a 100-year-old rock song. I am headbanging at the end of that live in concert. I can't help it. It rocks so hard. The band rocks so hard.
Yeah, let's talk about the band. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times when someone sees a tribute, quote unquote, it's sung to tracks.
Yeah, we're not doing
and
that.
You have a full band, orchestra?
Yeah. I've got an orchestra of six. Okay. The horn arrangements, as you can hear, are dynamite. And all these arrangements are based on Judy's live concert arrangements, like you would hear at Carnegie Hall. That wonderful gold record of hers that won all the Grammys. It's never been out of print, the Carnegie Hall album. It's wonderful. So, yeah, my band is influenced by those arrangements. And they're guys who play all over. They're guys who've played with Street Lamp.
Okay. So, Michael, you put the group together. You call and says, hey, we're doing this project.
Yeah,
can you
he
play?
Gets the best guys.
I call the guys that I trust. So, you know, the same, you know.
And gals.
That's true.
Although Judy mostly has guys. Judy likes a male band. Okay. She can't help it.
Yeah. You know, the music director for all of the Under the Street Lamp PBS specials is, you know, was our music director in a lot of ways and bass player here. The horns that when Frank Sinatra came to town, he would call, we have those people. When Frankie Valli plays the Chicago Theater every year, those are the folks that are in our Broadway and Chicago horn section. Yeah, all the Broadway and Chicago guys. So, you know, these guys, they have all put in their own 10,000 hours. So, you know, I think that you'll really enjoy hearing Angie sing these songs, but the band is about as compelling. And people don't hear bands, loud jazz, full bands live as often as they used to be able to.
Judy liked everything loud. There's so much great great music that you can just feel all the way through your gut. It's a very emotional experience, the live concert of this. Of course, I'm a live performer first and always have been, so it was hard for me to figure out how to translate into the television medium exactly what it is that I do, but I just feel like there's nothing like a live show. And warts and all and sweat and just making it happen.
It's
I love it.
Funny, too. You know, that's the thing about the live show at Theater at the Center. you know, Angela tells a bunch of funny stories about her life, about Judy's life. I mean, it's really we get some touching things because there were some darker moments in Judy's life.
Absolutely.
But
I let the audience ask me about that. I do an AMA during the show.
Okay.
I bring up the lights during Act 2, and I say, ask me anything about Judy Garland. I believe that I can responsibly and compassionately speak to her point of view on anything. I know my research, and I know this woman and this artist very well with my whole heart.
And you've got a significant family connection to the Garlands as well.
I had the privilege last year, partially thanks to our friend Ron Onesti, to work with Joey Left, Judy's little son. Mm-hmm. I say little because I'm just so used to looking at him as pictures as a baby, but of course now I know him as a man, and he's my friend. So Judy had three kids, the most famous, Liza Minnelli, we know.
Lorna
Luft is also a great singer.
I was going to ask if either of them had seen or
not that I
anything.
Know of yet. I have worked with Joey, though, and so I'm sure I will be able to meet them soon and eventually. So Joey called me up after seeing some of my stuff on the internet to do a Mother's Day tribute with him. We're going to play a
couple
of... Is
he a performer as well, then?
He's not. Okay. What the situation was is he would sit on stage with me and I'll interview him so that he can tell stories and I can tell stories and then I'll get up and sing and occasionally we'll show videos of Mama. And so we were putting together our script for this show and he came over to my house the night before. Wow. And I just... looking up to the sky, universe, you have delivered her DNA to my doorstep. How does this happen? I feel like I'm serving a calling. This was a few months. This was last Mother's Day, so I guess it was a year.
Oh, it had did happen.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was last Mother's Day when we first did this show. And you know, I certainly hope and project that there will be more occasions for me to work with Joey. But he came over to my house, and Michael cooked. Michael is a great cook. Joey cleaned his plate. My cats sat on his lap, and he told me stories about his mom, and it was one of the most moving experiences of my life.
And he may or may have sniffled on a Kleenex that may or may not still be in my house.
I put it in a sachet bag, and I hung it over my dressing table. I'm sorry. I'm a bit of a... Like Judy, she referred to herself as a black Irish witch, and maybe
but,
I'm a
know,
bit myself.
Joey let you do something that, as far as we know, no one has ever been allowed to do with
you
one
know
of the family members.
Yeah, you know the girls don't sing Rainbow.
Right.
I know Liza has once that I know of in public. And Joey asked me not to sing Rainbow when we were in concert together. He said, that's Mama's song. We're going to play a video of Mama singing that song. And I said, you know, whatever you want. Yeah, I was happy to be at the party at all. Well, during the Q&A after the show, the audience gets to, we want Rainbow. We want Rainbow.
Oh, no.
And so I turned to Joey and I said, is it okay if I sing it? They wanted the live experience of it. And he gave me his blessing. I said, do you want to go in the wings or something and leave? And he's like, no, I'll be here with you. And he sat next to me, and I sat on the edge of the stage, and he let me sing Rainbow, and he sang along with me a little bit, and turning and seeing that little face. I mean, if you remember the 64 Christmas special, where she sits in the... from her television show, and she's sitting in the picture frame of a window with Joey on her lap singing Rainbow. It was precisely that moment happening in my own life at the Arcata Theater, and it was just chilling. It was maybe the greatest moment of my life thus far. It was absolutely beautiful, and there's something ghostly that happens every time that I sing this Judy music, but that was the most palpable bit of love I could feel from her in the universe was that moment. It was just a little touch on the shoulder.
Now, you have been singing. This is a relatively newer show that we're talking about, the Come Rain or Come Shine. Mm-hmm. You have won one of the most prestigious awards, the Jeff Award, for Outstanding Actress for portraying Judy. And that was in End of the Rainbow.
Yeah, at Porchlight Music Theater in Chicago. I've done it in other places. I've done it
in
L.A.
Is that similar to this show, or is it completely different? What's the difference between these shows?
Thank you for wanting to delineate the difference, because they are a little confusing, I understand. End of the Rainbow is a play that was written a few years ago by a British playwright, Peter Quilter, and played on the West End in London and played Broadway in some time, and it was written for a wonderful British actress named Tracy Bennett. Porchlight did the regional premiere of that play here with me, and it was a wonderful, wonderful production, wonderful success, a lot of great people involved in that one, and it brought a lot more attention, certainly, to what I was doing already in concert with Judy. So in the play, I'm wearing a costume and I'm doing the mannerisms and I'm doing the voice and I'm doing the script that was provided. So in that way, it's very different. When I am in concert as Judy, I'm talking about my own connection. I'm asking the audience about their connections and riffing off of what they have to say. And it's a little more of a backstage experience for what it's like for me to play Judy and get in her psychology. How the heck is it that you seem to know what makes this person tick? And in my concert, I'm able to be a little more forthcoming about all of my secrets, really. How I found my way in, my own family history that leads me to understanding a lot of the difficulties that she struggled with in her life. Her her addiction, her strained family and working relationships, I have a lot of compassion for based on my own family history as well.
You mentioned starting at 5 years old singing. Mm-hmm. How, I mean, are you both from Chicago? I know you're from Chicago now.
No, I grew up in Indianapolis. No,
okay,
not too
so
far.
You're a Hoosier.
I'm a Hoosier. I am.
There you go.
I am a Hoosier.
Michael, are you from Chicago originally?
I'm from Dayton, Ohio originally.
Okay, but now you're living in Chicago, correct?
Mm-hmm. Sure are.
Okay. When you were 5 years old, what got you into show business? Are you from a showbiz family? You both mentioned that your parents inspired you with their music, but how did you start performing at five?
My family just really liked pop music, quite honestly. My mom was, my parents were very young when they had me, and my dad is a guitar rock guy. He liked the Beatles and Santana and Jimi Hendrix. Okay. And my mom was a little more easy listening 70s, more of a
Carole King kind of thing?
Like Elton John is her, okay. was her very, very favorite of all time. And I got a lot of my Judy experience from movie musicals at the library. I was a library worm, and I also had an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
I had an uncle living in rural Indiana who never married, and the whole family didn't understand his obsession with Judy Garland. But little old me loved it. So under the age of five, he was showing me all the movies. He was showing me VHS tapes of the TV show.
Wow.
And he would take road trips to go see Liza that I was never allowed to go on. He gave me a lot of my early education. No one in my family is a performer. My mom was a very creative artist, but not a performer. I was very much a sore thumb. But I had what I consider a fairy godmother. Mm-hmm. And a public school music teacher, as soon as I got to school at 5 years old, that heard me singing Judy and heard me singing Annie. I am of the Annie generation. I was born in 77.
Never got my head around Annie.
Well, I was four at the time. Please don't blame me. And she encouraged me that I had talent and got me performing right away.
I'm glad to hear that because my wife is an educator. And as I mentioned off air, we're both involved with the library. So you gave a nice mm-hmm. plug to the library about the importance of it.
Oh, the library saved my life. Library is a life raft to the rest of the world from no matter where you come from. It's the most important thing.
But the arts in most schools. Now, locally, Hobart's got a great one. Munster's got a great arts center.
That's good.
But a lot of the schools are losing the arts programs.
Yeah, when I was little, we went to music class, and that's not available to everybody anymore, which
most
scares
me. Most of my
me.
Guests, I will ask them how important that public school system was. And
my
most
fairy
of them
godmother.
Indelibly say, it was the reason I'm talking to you today.
Absolutely. If you look inside of my CD mm-hmm. that we were listening to tracks to from today, I wrote a dedication inside of it to my three favorite music teachers who I call my fairy godparents.
Yeah,
it's Anita Holmes and Dr.
Okay.
It's at the bottom
at
of
the
that,
bottom
in a little
here.
Purple print.
Yep.
Dr. Carol Stiegel and Lucinda Paul were three particular public school music teachers who I believe saved my life and set me on a path of believing in myself.
Amazing, and thank you for remembering them.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that you have done. How long have you been doing Judy? Obviously, you weren't doing Judy at 5 years old.
Yes and no. I mean, okay. I was certainly singing her and being compared to her even then. Throughout my life, I've been compared to her, whether I was doing her intentionally or not. I've been in other plays and musicals that had nothing to do with Judy Garland, and audiences come up to me after something like Carousel and say, you are just Judy Garland up there. I was going for Shirley Jones, but okay. So I have gotten it my whole life, but I decided mm-hmm. that Judy was my calling and that I was not going to be shy about it anymore. About, what was it, 2014 or 15? Mm-hmm. 2015, mm-hmm. I want to say. I made a wish on a Christmas star, and I said,
really?
You know what?
That's so musical in itself.
It is. I did. I said, I want to be the foremost interpreting artist of Judy's legacy in the world. And my life has seemed like it's nothing but green lights since then. That I feel like I'm serving the calling that was deep within me that sounded silly to say out loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how dare you? How dare anyone think they could emulate this
yeah.
kind of talent? I am nowhere near the talent of Judy Garland. She absolutely changed the world with who she was on and off of the stage. But I felt a calling, and I suddenly wasn't ashamed to say it out loud, and it's been beautiful ever
wow.
since. Yeah.
Well, let's hear you doing some Judy now off the CD. Is this CD going to be available to purchase?
This CD
yes,
is.
Yes, it will be
yeah.
at Theater at the Center on April the 7th,
mm-hmm.
the 3 p.m. show and the 7 p.m. show. We
Very
can
good.
Purchase the CD and the DVD of the PBS special.
Oh, the
just
DVD
debuted.
Too.
Yeah,
yep.
you can do the DVD.
So
and
I can
CD
pick up the DVD. I don't have to wait for them to reissue
you do
it.
Not.
All
right,
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 wonderful. Well, this is recorded live at the Arcata, and it looks like Ron Onesti was engineering too.
Oh, no, his brother. brother Rich.
Oh, okay.
That does the sound engineering there. Okay. He's great. Oh, they do a great job.
Very
out there.
Talented family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's tap into this. This is off the Get Happy. Angela Ingersoll sings Judy Garland, and let's do the. Are we doing the medley? I Got Rhythm and Singing in the Rain. Let's
okay.
do that.
Fun.
Days can be sunny with never a sigh. Don't need what money can buy. Birds in the trees sing their days full of song. Why shouldn't we sing along? I'm chipper all the day, happy with my Lord. Do I get that way? Look at what I got. I got rhythm, I got music, I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? I got daisies in green pastures, I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? Oh man, trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams, I got my man. Who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more? I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. The troubles all are fled, a rainbow's up ahead. Just singing.
Finger popping music there.
That is from Girl Crazy, 1940, a Gershwin, great old Gershwin tune.
Wow. They don't write songs like that anymore.
That's my experience as well, that you it's know? Rare.
And yeah. there's a reason that there's standards, and there's a reason that decades later we're still re-recording them, playing them, paying money to see them performed live.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason that I throw a little shout out to Singing in the Rain within I Got Rhythm is they have the same chord structure.
Mm-hmm.
The and they're called the rhythm changes, and jazz musicians can play lots of different songs over the rhythm changes because it was such a revolutionary piece of writing when it happened. Lots of other people have based songs on mm-hmm. I Got Rhythm.
I did a jazz course with Billy Foster, a great jazz instructor, actually, and piano player. And at IUN, he does this adult education thing. And because I love jazz so much, but I didn't understand it, the different changes and signatures
right.
and things. It's so different than any other music. So I took this course, and it baffled me. It's like
yeah.
it's like geometry of music. I mean,
right?
the way they can do things, or calculus even.
And look at how we can bring that back around to why music education is so important in
exactly.
the schools. It's a better way into math.
I can appreciate it. I could
abstract.
Never play it. I could never sing it mm-hmm. the way jazz, you know, with the phrasing and things. But I can appreciate when I mm-hmm. listen to Miles Davis a little more because I understand what was going on.
What he's trying to communicate mm-hmm. because you can understand a little bit more about the language he's speaking. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, singers are the same. We always hear about Sinatra. He didn't have a huge voice. I mean, a huge range, rather. Mm-hmm. But his phrasing made him...
Exactly.
One of a kind.
He was a great storyteller, and it's all in the phrasing and where he breathes.
How do you learn that as a singer?
Well, it's I start with the lyric
mm-hmm.
Because I'm an actor first, I guess I would say. So the poetry will tell me. I do a lot of Shakespeare as well.
Okay.
You know, I love
that's
I
tough.
Love poetry.
Shakespeare's tough.
Shakespeare's always just made sense to me. And again, it was not something I was exposed to as a kid. It just made sense to me. And I think it's because it's all written on a heartbeat. If you let the language tell you first what's going on, it actually will reveal itself to you. I think it's not as hard as people think it is. It's hard to look at and read. It's not hard to listen to.
Okay.
When somebody lets the language do the work for
it's
them.
It's like poetry.
Yeah. it reveals itself to you. So looking at the lyric first is where I start. Judy was the same kind of singer. She would listen to the lyric first and want to get across the immediacy of telling that story. She said every song poses a question, mm-hmm. and I'm there to explore that question right now. And a really great question, like in the song Over the Rainbow, you can ask yourself this question over and over again throughout your life and keep finding new depths to your answer. It's such a great piece of writing, Over the Rainbow, that it sounds good coming from the child's point of view as mm-hmm. a dreamer. It also sounds phenomenal from an older, wiser, hard-earned perspective of life. It certainly can reflect our own disappointments, our own questions about our mortality.
Mm-hmm.
And when she performed it in concert, you saw Rainbow grow with her. And that is incredibly revealing. So when I do Rainbow in concerts, it's reflective of where I am in my life now, as opposed to just trying to sing it like the movie. I'm a 40-year-old woman, and mm-hmm. I'm telling you about what
I
know about
40.
Life. Why, thank you.
I would have thought like mid-30s, early 30s.
Thanks. Laughing keeps you young, and mm-hmm. I try to laugh a lot.
You mentioned Rainbow, and we're going to get to that before we let you go. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the casual people that might come to see a show know Judy Garland for Wizard of Oz,
right.
And nothing else. Now, the music fans know her for the Carnegie album and mm-hmm. know her for some of the television shows and mm-hmm. the variety shows she appeared on back in the day. But that's the thing we always see her in.
Yeah.
Judy Garland as a 15-year-old or whatever,
exactly.
playing... You know, in Wizard of Oz.
Dorothy.
How hard is it, and Michael, this is towards you too, to get people to come to a show about a singer they may only know one song by?
It happens to be the greatest song of the 20th century. That helps.
Yeah, it really helps that the Wizard of Oz plays year after year after year after year.
That your grandparents your grandchildren all have an experience with
exactly.
Wizard of Oz
bring
them together. That helps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, in this particular catalog that, you know, every new generation gets introduced to Judy Garland through the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
It never stops being on television. So, you know...
There's also that Meet Me in St. Louis with that Christmas song in it. You know, there is a lot of Judy
Christmas.
In our culture.
Right.
So, you know... The movies that are still timeless, that still play, do a lot of the heavy lifting for us to get younger people interested in Judy and to say that might be something that I would like. And believe it or not, they do come.
Easter
they
Parade's going to be on TV this weekend,
yeah.
I'm sure.
And this
right.
is the great, this is the right kind of show, too, that, you know, for people that remember Judy in their heyday and it was part of, you know, their own youth, this is a great show to bring your kids and your grandkids to. Something to do all together in the same room with the cell phone turned off
yeah.
and the video games left at home.
I did bring up that I talk about a little bit of Judy's darkness and struggles as well, but certainly not in a way I think that is not family friendly. I
mm-hmm.
mean, everything's done responsibly and compassionately.
Why
and
do you think she
curse,
had?
You know?
You've gotten kind of into her head a little bit, her
mm-hmm.
soul and spirit. Why do you think her life was so dark? She had so much promise. Was it an early case of the child star syndrome that we hear so much about?
She was a drug addict, and she was born so.
She was born.
Yeah, she
her
claims...
Her mom was an addict?
She claims that her mom started her on pills in vaudeville before she ever got to MGM. Now, Judy was also a teller of tall tales.
Okay.
So perhaps that is an exaggeration. Judy was the kind of friend who, if you told her about a car accident you were in, you would hear her telling that story as if it happened to her at a cocktail party the next week.
Wow.
As long as she came up with the best possible punchline, it was now her story. She was very much... needed approval and attention and constant affirmation of love. And there was a void in her that she was constantly trying to fill, created, I think, largely by the spiking of the substances in her body, the need for the substance to stay alive. So
mm-hmm.
in vaudeville, she started when she was two in her sister's act. It was the three of them, the Gum Sisters. And her mom played the piano for them and drug them around from city to city. And the Gum Sisters changed their name in Chicago to the Garland Sisters when playing the World's Fair at the Oriental Theater. And those vaudeville days were very strenuous. You know, they would do 4 and 5 shows a day, touring from city to city to try to make ends meet. And there wasn't a lot of money. And when it was time for you to perform, there was a pill to help you perform. When it was time to sleep in the car so we could drive to the next city, there was a pill to make you sleep as well. Mm-hmm. That happened on the MGM set. She claims it also happened to her in vaudeville by the hand of her mom. So she didn't have a chance as far as that was concerned. She was trained very, very young for the body to not know how to sleep on its own. And
messes up your body clock.
Yeah.
Well, Elvis had the same problem.
Absolutely. Michael Jackson is, I think, the closest example to what Judy went through, having so much discernible talent so young that a lot of people wanted to capitalize on her entire life.
Right.
And so she felt she wasn't a human being to people.
She was a commodity.
Was constantly needing to prove her existence and her humanity to people around her. And she would get perhaps very possessive and clingy of her ideas of love because of her need to prove that she existed. That can create a darkness in anybody.
We're going to remember Judy Garland with a wonderful performance, Come Rain or Come Shine, at the Theater at the Center. And that's at 1040 Ridge Road in Munster. Easy to get to. Beautiful theater. Wonderful sound system. Mm-hmm. Sight lines from any seat in the house. And my guest tonight, Angela Ingersoll, along with Michael Ingersoll, who is the creator of this show, will be there April 7th. Two shows, 3 p.m., 7 p.m. Get information on that at theateratthecenter.com. You can find out more information about my guests, Michael at artistloungelive.com and angelaingersoll.com. And I think those websites all connect to each other anyway. So
yes.
If you remember one, you'll get to all of them.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about a few of the other things that your company is doing. But right now, before we get to Rainbow, which we're going to close with, let's do another one. You mentioned the medley, and there's some great songs in this. Let's do the medley.
I just thought we were going to do Come Rain or Come Shine.
Oh, we can do that.
I love it so
much. Okay, let's do that.
The medley has a long intro
to
it, which was why I thought maybe it wasn't as radio appropriate. But
not a problem. We can do Come Rain or Come Shine.
Just rock so hard. I'm sorry to derail the plan.
And that is the title of the performance.
It's
so
the title
it
of
only
performance.
Makes sense.
It just rocks so hard.
So
you see
let's
how it is, Tom. You see how it is.
She is in
I
charge.
Apologize.
You see how it is.
There
man.
You go. All right, Come Rain or Come Shine. This is Angela Ingersoll. We'll be back a final time to talk about the show and what their next plans are.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you. Come rain or come shine, high as a mountain, deep as a river. Come rain or come shine. I guess when you me, it was just one of those things, but don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true with you, let me. You're gonna love me like nobody's loved me, come rain or come shine. Come rain or come shine, I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna love you. I guess when you met me, it was just one of those things, but don't ever bet me, 'cause I'm gonna be true. Me love you.
with you, baby. I'm with you, baby. I'm with you always, come rain or shine.
The music of Judy Garland, Come Rain or Come Shine, that is Angela Ingersoll, and that is the title track of the production coming to Theater at the Center in Munster on April 7th, not one but two performances, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., and you can get information at theateratthecenter.com, and that's theater, R-E, not E-R, AngelaIngersoll.com and ArtistLoungeLive.com. And Michael, that's your company. Now, you've got several of these kinds of shows. I mentioned we had Alexis from Ella on. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have all of your talent cycle through this show because it's all the music I love. And I think my listeners really in the NPR world can embrace this as well. You've got a lot of shows. How do you juggle all this? It's a new company.
We make about six new concerts a year. Started at Metropolis Performing Arts Center up in Arlington Heights, where Under the Street Lamp started and where this concert started. It's mm-hmm. been a great organization, a great community for us. So that takes about 2 months for us to fully put together one of these 75 to 90 piece, 90 minute pieces of entertainment.
We have talented friends.
Yeah, we've got an embarrassment of riches. So, for instance, you know, after Angela's show, we're producing a concert called Darren, and that's the hits of Bobby Darin at Theater at the Center. And that features Christopher Colley Jones, who is also a founding member of mm-hmm. Under the Street Lamp. But, you know, I met him 10 years ago when he was playing Frankie Valli and Jersey Boys mm-hmm. to my Nick Massey.
One of the things I liked about him in Street Lamp was he would change back and forth song selection wise between rock songs and jazz songs so well that I thought, you know who else does that is Bobby Darin. He should do Bobby Darin. Mm-hmm. So we tend to hone in on our favorite artists and find the catalog that suits them best.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's, you know, trip over it, obviously. You know, mm-hmm. our good friend Brandon Bennett, who does a show for us called Elvis My Way, played Elvis for 5 years in Chicago in that long-running, incredibly successful production, Million Dollar Quartet.
He is astounding. And what an uphill climb that is to be a great Elvis. It seems like, oh, I've seen it. I don't care.
Right.
He is mind-blowingly good. Yeah. Just, I cry my eyes out.
And this
him.
New Year's Eve at Theater at the Center, we're bringing in Evan Tyrone Martin, who just played Jesus incredibly well and incredibly successfully in Jesus Christ Superstar at the Paramount Theater mm-hmm. Aurora. New Year's Eve, he's doing two sets of Nat King Cole.
Wow, another great singer that we forget about sometimes.
And the stories that go with Nat King Cole's journey, his life coming up in Chicago and being a jazz musician and switching over to pop and being the first African-American person to have their own TV show, short-lived mm-hmm. though it was. I mean, Nat's story is absolutely, it's a beautiful portrait of mid-century America and us learning all more about each other. And Evan's such a great storyteller. Ooh, and now that music, you just melt. It's so romantic.
Do you cover the jazz trio years mm-hmm. or just the hits years?
No,
he does
Straighten Up and Fly Right, as well as something like you know,
Paper Moon.
Things like that.
And that's why we remember, you know, for our Nat King Cole show, that Nat King Cole is one of the best jazz pianists to record. So we make sure our jazz pianist is, you know, tip top.
Yeah, Jeremy Kahn.
Kahn, Joanne Doherty, all these guys that are just amazing, amazing.
Yeah,
folks.
His New Year's Eve show, I think he's doing two shows that night.
That's
going to sell out way in advance, I think. Yeah.
Now you're doing dinner theater on these too, right? On some of these shows?
We haven't done dinner theater proper.
No?
We're certainly not. We're not opposed to it. We're not opposed to it where anybody wants to gather, sing the songs that they know the words to, mm-hmm. remember the songs, the music that was being made when people were doing it.
Is the theater offering some kind of package we don't know about outside of our showtime?
They sometimes
maybe,
do.
Maybe
it's
it
not
is.
All the shows. That's why I was wondering
if
you were doing, because it would seem perfect.
Yeah, I'm never
for
opposed
this.
To dinner of any kind.
You're a musician. You live to eat.
He's a very good cook, actually, as well.
And I know most of my musician friends are like, if we don't have to eat ramen soup again, we're happy. Yeah. So you guys have found a good margin of success at this point. What's next?
Goodness gracious.
I mean, you're still young enough. You're still both doing what you want to do. You're living the dream, and you're finding success at it. People are coming to your shows. You've done television, mm-hmm. you know. You've recorded now. You were on, you know, all these big stages across America. What's left?
That's a heck of a question, brother. You know, most immediately, most of what we've created has been in the Chicago and in Northwest Indiana area. We want to take what we've built here. We want to take the talent that we're proud of that originates here and show the rest of the country and the rest mm-hmm. of the world what we have going on here mm-hmm. in this region. You know, we want to take these shows all over the country and all over the world, just like Street Lamp did. So birthing the company outside of Chicago and making sure that this whole genre stays alive for the American culture, the American mm-hmm. public, is one of the biggest goals. But also, I think we're always looking for ways that that we can show our gratitude, that we can serve, that yeah. we can give back. We're often available and consult with people that are raising money for charitable causes, using these concerts as centerpieces to help mm-hmm. Causes
Michael
move their efforts forward. We have a ton of fundraising experience,
yeah.
actually.
We're a good tag team in that.
Yeah. So I guess it's growing. Setting. You know, growing what we've built, staying gratitude centered, staying service oriented, and staying married.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Are you doing any kind of work with young people to get them enticed? And in, we were talking about public education on arts. Mm-hmm. Doing anything through your company?
We are.
Where you're bringing kids, introducing
yeah.
them.
Everybody that works with Artists Lounge Live, any of the headliners, have to agree that if we can find an hour for them to do public service in any way that is attached to one of the shows that. That they're getting paid to do, that they offer that gratis. And so the kids don't have to pay to work with them. They don't get paid.
Yeah, we'll do master classes.
The
yeah.
theater doesn't get paid. And so they'll talk to them about, you know, how to audition for their high school musical or what's important to know about going into college if you're going to pursue music. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, guitar lessons if they're a guitar player. But so, yes, every single time we're someplace that will help us facilitate it, we do pay that forward to kids, and it's always at no cost to those kids.
Okay. Yeah. One other thing, Angela, that you are a part of through this company, which is Artist Lounge Live, is the Sing the Blues program.
Yeah.
Now, are you bringing that to Munster anytime soon?
Not that I know of. We haven't talked about it yet, but I Got a Right to Sing the Blues is another show that I wrote so that I could sing Judy not by herself, but put Judy in more of a historical context through some of the icons that were also popular in the middle of the 20th century. So I Got a Right to Sing the Blues. I sing Judy Garland. I have a very talented friend singing Ella Fitzgerald, who we spoke about mm-hmm. a few minutes ago, Alexis Rostin. And I have a very talented friend who sings Patsy Cline. These women who we love and defined the era musically, coming from different avenues, representing maybe some different American experiences, were all so iconic in pop music, but didn't work together.
Mm-hmm.
We think about the men mid-century in the Rat Pack hanging out together and having
right.
a great time. But these women were very solitary entities.
So,
and
they all so had what children. Would have happened if?
Yeah, they all had children and raised their own families okay. and had to stand on their own feet in a business that maybe wasn't designed to be immediately kind to them, particularly at that time in history. And so, yeah, we get a few what could have been moments where they tell their own stories disparately and then come together to sing a few songs. And it's really exciting. We do some Andrew Sisters styles harmonies and some dream numbers.
I hope
numbers.
You bring it to Munster.
It's
I'd like
very
to see
cool.
that.
You
it's
hear that?
Very
you
cool.
hear that, Munster?
There you
Tom
go.
Tom wants us to bring it to Theater at the Center.
Keep bringing this stuff back because these are amazing shows. All right. It's interesting. This whole conversation has been wonderful, and I hate to say it, but we are out of time. So April 7th, we will continue this at Theater at the Center. Come Rain or Come Shine is the show. 3 p.m., 7 p.m., I assume that you will be coming out to greet the audience after?
Absolutely. It's my favorite part. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be out there with CDs and DVDs, and I'd like to sign them. I would like to shake your hand. I would like to personally thank you for coming out and supporting live arts in your community.
All right. Keep up with Angela at AngelaIngersoll.com. Keep up with the whole project of what we've been talking about with Michael at ArtistLoungeLive.com. And, of course, TheaterTheCenter.com is where you'll get all your ticket information for this particular show. Let's leave with a wonderful song, the, as you said, probably the most indelible songs in American history, yeah. which is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Why don't you introduce it?
Oh, goodness. Over the Rainbow, as I was saying earlier, is a song that grows with you as you grow. And I have a particularly beautiful and gut-wrenching task before me when I sing this song for the audiences at Theater at the Center. This is going to be the first concert that I have done since I lost my mom a week ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And so this will be the first time I sing Rainbow in public since I sang it at her funeral service last week. And I'm very excited to share that with people because, as I said, it's a song that grows with you as you grow. And I don't know what I'll discover that day as it comes out in the moment, but I'm shaking thinking about it. So Over the Rainbow is going to help me serve her memory in the most loving way I know how.
All right. And here it is, Angela singing it as Judy Garland. Stay with us. Second half of the show is going to spotlight the 33rd annual Valparaiso University Jazz Fest. Here's Rainbow.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble and the raindrops tumble all around, magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun. Just a step beyond the rain. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a in a lullaby, somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue, and the dreams that you dared to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll little bluebirds fly.